bulletin? Do you have a bulletin?
There's two.
All right. Good morning. Good to have you in the house of the Lord this morning. Looking forward to what the Lord's going to do for us. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask the Lord to bless our service today. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we come before you. God, we love you today and so thankful that you love us. And God, I pray that you might do a work in our hearts and lives today. I pray that you might be with the reading and preaching of your word all over our building this morning. And God, that you just might help our hearts to be like good soil, that we might be able to absorb the seed of the word. And God, that it might bring forth fruit. And God, I pray for those that are not able to be here. Do pray for Brother Rowe and Sister Atkins that have procedures this week, and I do pray for the rest of them that are not feeling well this morning, the ferrets, but God, I pray that you might meet with us this morning and bless the reading and preaching of your word in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, this morning we have Brother Nathan home from college, and for a class in song leading, right, he has to lead the singing in church. So everybody, when he comes, he's going to do Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and I need you to grade him, okay? 1 to 10 on appearance, enthusiasm, rhythm, voice, and no, I'm just kidding. No, I appreciate Brother Nathan. Come on up. I'll just do the announcements right now. We'll do two songs, and we'll let Brother Moyer teach Sunday school this morning. This week, hope you'll be back in God's house tonight. What? No, he's going to lead the singing. Lead the singing. No, you're still free. We don't want people to grade you, but grade him. No, I'm just saying. But anyway, I hope you'll be here tonight. And then this week at Berean Baptist Church, revival Monday through Friday, 7 o'clock. And he's having local preachers preach. He asked me to preach on Tuesday. I don't know why it's April 1st, but I get to preach that day. Anyway, 7 o'clock, if you'd like to go, midweek service here this Wednesday, Operation Saturation coming up on this Saturday. We'll take the Lord's Supper as a church on Wednesday, April 16th. And then Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday morning will be Sunday, April 20th. Looking forward to that. And we'll do breakfast and photos from 7:30 to 9:30 and then have regular services. And then Monday, April 21st, will be Senior Saints at the church at noon. Okay, thank you. Amen. And then Friday and Saturday, April 25th and 26th. You say, why are we a Baptist church, preacher? Why can't we just be Bethel Church? And but there are biblical reasons why we are a Baptist church. And I believe that God started, you say, he didn't start a Baptist church. He started a church that just... I believe that there's been a succession of a Baptist church all the way back from the days of Jesus Christ. He started it. And well, it hadn't always been called Baptist, exactly. But there's been a church in succession all the way back there. In fact, Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And so that Friday night, Saturday, Brother Rocky will be here. He's going to teach a college-like course on Baptist distinctives, why we're a Baptist. Baptist history. He's me, Brother Rocky, and I graduated from BBC together in way back there, 1988. And at that time, he had a tag, the KJV man. And so, at Heartland, he is the gotta find it here. Chairman of the Bible department. And I'm glad they got a man like Rocky Harrell to be chairman of the Bible department. Amen. But he teaches Bible doctrine 1 and 2. He teaches Baptist distinctives, Baptist history. Good man. And so he'll be able to give it forth in a way. And I hope you'll come. Hope you'll take advantage of this and why we are a Baptist church. And and I believe that's what we ought to be. If there was anything closer to what Jesus Christ built and had and started and is still blessing, I'd go be that. But I don't think there is. And so I hope you'll come take part in that. And then we'll have Lone Star Baptist College group on Mother's Day for PM service. So thank you for being here. Thank you for leading the singing, Brother Nathan. And then you come and speak.
All right, well, let's go ahead and turn our hymnals to page number 100, Day by Day. Let's all sing out to the Lord this morning. Oh, yeah, let's stand for the singing. All right, day by day. Day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here, trusting in my Father's wise bestowment. I've no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto each day what he deems best. Lovingly is part of pain and pleasure, being clean told with peace and rest. Every day the Lord himself is near me with a special mercy for each hour. All my cares he fain would bear and cheer me. He whose name is Counselor and Power, the protection of his child and treasure, is a charge that on himself he laid. As thy days, thy strength shall be in measure, this the pledge to me he made. So to trust thy promises, O Lord, that I lose not faith's sweet consolation offered me within thy holy word. Help me, Lord, when toil and trouble meeting, e'er to take as from a father's hand. One by one the days, the moments fleeting, till I reach the promised land. All right, very good scene. Let's turn our hymnals to page number 63. You may be seated. Page number 63, what a day that will be. Died for me. Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. Great singing this morning. I believe we'll go on to the message. So.
Well, I was willing to let him go ahead and teach Sunday school too. I mean, you know, he needs to get this experience, especially if, you know, right now, just do it. Anyway, yeah, so I'm glad he's up here leading songs. It's harder to lead songs than it is to sing them, isn't it? He does a great job of singing them. I mean, you did fine. I mean, I'm not saying it. But it is a little stiffer than, you know. Anyway, so we are in the book of Hebrews. Been there for a while, but we're in chapter 12. We finally got out of chapter 11. Chapter 11 has a lot of great things in it, the great heroes of the faith. And, of course, the reason I believe that that was put in was to show the faith that God gives people, can give us, and the things that these people did were only done through God's power, and it was God that moved them in all the things that they did. And today we're going to be in chapter 11, but before we go to chapter 11, let's look in chapter 12, just the last verse. Let's go to the last two verses, verse 39. These all, having obtained a good report through faith, that's how they did it. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Right. And that's what it tells us in verse 6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, for he that cometh to him must believe that he is, and a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's what chapter 11 is all about, our faith, and showed these people. Faith was memorable. It was outstanding. They did things that God worked miracles through, and different things like that. And it was just amazing. Last week in chapter 11, I looked at one other thing in this chapter, and I believe it also shows the sovereignty of God. God was in every bit of this, every one of their lives. And a lot of times we don't think God is watching or paying attention. He looks at every detail in your life. He wants to guide and direct you in everything. He's a sovereign God. And so things happen in our lives that we don't really understand sometimes, but God has a reason. We don't understand. I mean, just... of course, my granddaughter died kind of suddenly and everything, and we don't understand that. But you know what? Already, through her death, one of her cousins accepted Christ as her personal Savior. Amen. And they're pretty close to the same age, and it really, when Olivia heard of the death of her cousin and everything, it moved her. She knew she needed to do something about her salvation. So she accepted Christ as her personal Savior. Things happen. We don't know why things happen, but God has a reason. And that was the same thing with these men and women that lived here in chapter 11 that went through all these terrible things. And it says in this, we think sometimes that Abraham had a lot of understanding. Moses understood why he was going through this. David understood all the things he was going through. No, he didn't. He's no different than us. He had to trust in the sovereignty of God, that God was leading and doing in his life. So that's what chapter 11 was about. It says in verse 40, there in chapter 11, it says, God, having proven some better thing for us, that without us should not be made perfect. God's got a better thing for us. These people did all this, as we've seen in the verse before that. They obtained a good report with faith, received not the promise. They didn't see the resurrected Savior. They didn't hear of all the suffering that Christ did. They didn't know of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ and how his life changed the world, that people were now going to be able to believe in him and accept him as his personal Savior. That's what the book of Hebrews is really about. You have two different parts. You have the Hebrews, and that's what they're he's writing to the Jews here, telling them and proving to him in all these chapters that we've gone through before that there was something better than the law, that God had another purpose. And that was to get the law fulfilled through the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to fulfill the law, to take care of the law, and to take care of sin for us, to go to the cross of Calvary. So then in chapter 12, he starts it out, wherefore, because of all these things, that's what he's saying here, seeing we also are compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin that does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus. And so so he says in this first verse, I have to back up. I want to do this a little bit slower here. And that word wherefore means to look back in the chapter before and see what has taken place. And especially to the last words we were talking about there in chapter 11. And then it says we're compassed about. That means we're surrounded. All the people that have gone before us in faith, and even up to today, there are a cloud of witnesses of the things that God is doing here in our lives. And those things is we're here, encompassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. He says, let us lay aside every weight. Now, weights, sometimes we look at weights, and weights are sometimes sin. Sin that so easily beset us. But this is weights here. But you know, weights can be other things. As we're living our lives and stuff, we pick up things and different things and maybe jobs that we want to do, things we want to accomplish, goals we set in our lives, and we weight ourselves down with some of these things. When we need to realize that the Lord needs to work in our lives, and we need to allow him to live through us and get those. And we can't do that when we're weighted down with a lot of weights. So he tells us here that we need to get rid of these weights. And sin is so easily beset us that sin can also be a weight. But there's only one way to get rid of that weight, especially that weight of sin, is come before the Lord, confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How good does it feel when we know we've done wrong and our relationship with Christ is messed up? I've had that happen once or twice this week. I mean, it does happen. And I get on my knees and say, Lord, forgive me. I'm trying to carry this around, this weight, and I need to lay it aside. And so how good that feels when we can get out from under that weight. And that's what the Apostle Paul is I believe, stressing to the people there, that they need to get rid of those things. And they're burdened down with a law that they're trying to live. They're talking about the Hebrews here. And that's what the problem was. They were burdened down trying to do all these things. And he says, get rid of them. Get rid of them. Cast all your cares upon him, because he careth for you. That's what the Apostle Peter says in chapter 5, verse 7. He says, cast all the cares upon him, because he careth for you. And so he wants us to get rid of that weight. And I know back in a long time ago, now I have to think back a long time, back when I was in high school, That's well over 50 years ago now. That's really scary when I think of that. But anyway, back in those days, I remember being in track, and I was a sprinter. And every time I went out to practice, coach always handed these weights on for me. Here's your weights. I had to put them around your ankle. And you know how running sprints with weights on is not fun. Matter of fact, my legs got hurting so bad, my calves, back of my legs, and boy, I mean, you just knot up and everything was terrible. I don't know why they did it. Then you have to get all that liniment and put on you to get the knots out. But anyway, the purpose was to put those weights on. When you take them off, it's so my feet were so much lighter. I mean, I could run after I had those weights off. And that's the way with us. Now we need to run the race that is set before us. We've got a race to run. And so our lives, we need to run it for the glory of God and for what we can do for Him. It says, and He's going to tell us how to do that here. And He says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, I never was a patient runner. Never. I was a sprinter. And when you're a sprinter, you got to get there fast. I mean, 100 yards, I could hold my breath and be there in my 10 seconds, or something. And boom, I was there. It was over, But when you're running a long distance race, now Nathan knows about that. Are you still running? No, I didn't think so. You know why? No, I won't tell you. But anyway, you have to learn to pace yourself. And I learned that when I was in the Marine Corps. I can run a couple of miles now. Well, not right now, but I could. And not long ago, I could. I can remember when I could run a couple of miles. But anyway, when I was in the Marine Corps, I remember they taught me real, real good. I remember the first time we were on a 2 mile run, and boom, they put us out there, started us, and boy, I was moving. First 80 yards, man, I was so far ahead of everybody. I was doing pretty good, but I about hit a little bit further than that, I passed out because I was running way too fast, and it took me a long time to realize that I had to pace myself. I know the next time we got ready to run, I was ready to go, and a drill instructor grabbed me by the back and sling me back there, put me right on my back, and he says, "You don't run it that way. This is a long-distance run. You slow down. You got to pace yourself." He ran with me that time, yelling in my ears all the way. I mean, he yelled. I mean, I could still remember. I don't ever repeat the words he said. But he instructed me in a better way. That's what the Word of God is for, is to instruct us in a better way. Sometimes we want to get something done fast. We'll go and do this. Maybe it's knocking doors on Saturday. Oh, we get it over with. So we're going to go knock doors real quick, and it's over, okay? But that's not the way. Sometimes we need to pace ourselves. Sometimes we need to take it easy and enjoy our time visiting. I think that's very, very important. And so he tells us here to run the race with patience, with patience. We're not going to be able to accomplish everything. I told my granddaughter that got saved, and her life's going to change because the Bible tells us old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. But let me tell you, it takes a little while for that to become new. Sometimes we run in and try to change everything in our lives, and guess what? We don't have the reasoning why we're doing our changes. A person gets saved, sometimes they start going to church, and they're at church all the time, but they don't know why they're at church. They don't know what the importance is. So they follow the Lord in believers' baptism. They don't know why they're doing that. They're just doing it because that's what I was told to do. We need to know why. That's running with patience. That's why they need to be instructed. Baptism is a picture of what we have done. It's a picture of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, buried in the likeness of his death, risen in the glory of his resurrection to walk in a new life. Amen. Sometimes we don't hear all of that, but that's what the purpose of it is. And so it's a patient race. It's a patient race. We learn to do these things. When I first started tithing, I was kind of like my dad. I thought tithe was 10, so I gave $10, you know, until I learned what tithing was. Now, in the 50-some years that I've been doing it, it's easier for me to do because I give it with the right reason, the right purpose in my heart. This is what I'm doing for God, for his house, for his church, that the cause of Christ might go out, that missionaries might get sent around the world. We learn those things patiently. So, when someone becomes a new Christian and all these things are new to them, it's a patient race. You need to take time to learn these things and learn the proper way, what God would want us to do. And it tells us in the next verse exactly what we need to do. Look unto Jesus. Amen. He gave us the book. He gave us an example, our Lord. He showed us. He was our great example on how to do the things that he wants. It tells us here in verse 2, it says, look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. That's a good thing to know right there. Amen. You know, we struggle a lot of times with faith. It's not our faith. It's his. See, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Boy, does that make faith easier? It's him living through us. It's Christ living in us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, I like that. The joy of the cross. This is the Easter season starting, and we start thinking about the cross and what Jesus did for us and everything. And this verse of Scripture says, he who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. He endured it. He knew he had to do it, but he did it with joy. I wonder how many times in our Christian life that we do something with joy. We enjoy doing this. I'll tell you what, I enjoy putting in my offering envelope and doing my missions giving and all those things. I enjoy those things. I know you probably don't, but I enjoy teaching Sunday school. You probably don't enjoy, hearing me every week, but that I enjoy doing it. But I think when I preach, I like to enjoy preaching. I that's why sometimes I get a little excited. But well, I do. I try. Anyway, yeah, I get excited, and it's just like even teaching the Sunday school lessons. You can find a good verse. I like to get joyful over it. This is great. This is good stuff here that God has given us. His word's like that. He tells us his word will guide us and direct us. It's a light unto our path. And we need to remember his word. His word will not return to him void, but accomplish that which he pleases and prosper in things whereto he send it. It's important. We need to, when we read God's word, we need to be excited about it, especially when the Holy Spirit, as we're reading, when you're reading your Bible, make sure that you do ask the Holy Spirit to give you guidance and direction, because that's when you'll find the joyful verses. That's when all of a sudden you'll look at a verse of Scripture and say, wow, I like that. God is good to me. And it says here, he endured the cross. despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So it's Jesus, and he's there. He's completed it all. That's a good part about that verse. He's completed it all. He's sitting at the right hand of the throne of God, and he's there to help us with any needs we have. Come boldly before the throne of grace in the hour and the time of our needs. That's what it tells us in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse, I think it's 12. Let me see if I got it right. Word of God, a quick and powerful sharpener, down further. For we have a great high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but with all points was tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. That's what we can find in the scripture, and gives us joy in our heart and knowing that God will hear us and he answers our prayers. So many times in the book of Psalms, David cries out and asks, Lord, hear me, Lord, hear me. And then by the time he gets to the end of the Psalms, he says, thank you, Lord, for hearing me. And that's the way it is when we come before God and we're praying. Sometimes we don't know if he's going to hear us. But by the time we're finished praying, we ought to know that he does hear us. And sometimes we might not get the answer that we want or when we want it, but he's got an answer, and he will take care of it. He's a sovereign God that knows everything, and he's a loving God that takes care of us. In the next verse of Scripture here in Hebrews chapter 12, it says, "For consider him that endured such a contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds." He says what you need to do when we're when we're coming into problems that we may have, it says consider Jesus. And consider him. Consider what Christ went through. There's times in the scriptures where people didn't believe him. They wouldn't listen to what he said, but yet what he was telling them was the truth. Was the truth. In Luke's gospel, it tells us there, the Lord here, it says in chapter 6 and verse 1, it says, "It came to pass on the second Sabbath after the first." That's kind of neat the way that goes. First comes, then the second. The Bible tells us all good, interesting stuff sometimes. He's got it in order, all right? He's got an order. That he went through the cornfields, and his disciples plucked the ears of corn and did eat, and rubbing them their hands. And certain of the Pharisees, always the Pharisees around, and saying unto them, "Why do ye, which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath?" Here he's got a question. Everywhere the Lord went, it seemed like someone was there to question what he was doing and these things. So the Lord tells him, answered them, "Have ye not read?" He points them right back to the Old Testament, because that's what they're going to know. The Old Testament, and he says, "Have ye not read so much as this? What David did when him himself was hungered, and they which were with him, how he went into the house of God and did take and eat of the showbread and give also to them that were with him, which it is not lawful to eat but for the priest alone." And he said unto them, "That the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath." So he was telling them he's Lord of the Sabbath. He's God. And one of the good things as we look through, and he tells us to consider the Lord Jesus. When we look in the Gospels, that's the place to where we can see the Lord and where he's talked about, and the disciples tell us about him. In Matthew, it starts out, Matthew portrays Christ as the king. And you can look in the genealogy. He shows him as being the son of David, a king that's coming. And in Mark shows Jesus as a servant. As a servant that comes, and then Luke shows Jesus as the great physician. He does great miracles in the book of Luke. He shows him as the one to be able to do that. And then in the Gospel of John, he shows him as King, or as God himself. But you know, in the Gospel of John, he shows him as deity. That was the word I was searching for there for a minute. And yet, God, of course, John starts out in the very beginning. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And verse 14 says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." That's Jesus. That's how John pictures Him. I like the Gospel of John. Matter of fact, when my granddaughter that just got saved, I told her, get your Bible, read the Gospel of John. Read the Gospel of John over and over. Read the Gospel of John, because in John you see Jesus Christ as God Himself came to this earth and took upon Himself the form of flesh, and became obedient even unto death of the cross. And so the Gospel of John shows us the deity of Christ. So in the Gospels, if we want to consider Jesus, we need to look into the Gospels and see all the things that He had done, how He endured the cross and was exalted to the right hand of God. And so so we see in verse 3, it told us there, We're first in verse 2, we're looking to Jesus. We need to look into Jesus. One of my favorite songs is Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. It says, "O soul, are you wearied and troubled? No light in the darkness you see? There's a light in the there's a light for a look at the Savior and a life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace." That's a song there that can change a person's heart. I know, because after my first wife died, and all of a sudden it hit me, she was gone. When I walked down into my laundry room and seen the pile of laundry that was there, that's when my heart realized I'd lost the great price. I'd lost the great price there. But the amazing thing was, this is how God works. He's a sovereign God. You know that? Same time I was listening to the radio on BBN, and the song came on, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus." Amen. That accident? No, I got a sovereign God that helps me out when my heart is hurting. And same thing, the same way with you. He will be there if you just listen. And the song goes on in the second verse, through death into life everlasting. He passed and we followed Him there. Over us sin. No more dominion, for more than conquerors we are. It tells, turn our eyes upon Jesus. His word shall not fail you, He promised. Believe Him, and all will be well. Then go to the world that dying, His perfect salvation to tell. We got a message to give, and that's to tell people to turn their eyes upon Jesus. He makes a difference in our life. He's a sovereign God. He takes care of us. And so here in the book of Hebrews, in these first three verses, God is telling the Hebrews, you got a lot to look forward to. Things have changed. The Old Testament law has been fulfilled. It's been nailed to the cross. And now you can turn your eyes to Jesus and he can change your life. And that's what he was telling. Look unto him. He's the author and finisher for our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand on the throne of God. For consider him that he endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. He tells us, he says, Jesus can help us. He can take care of us. There's times he knows that these people are going to be weary in well-doing. A lot of these people that he's talking to are going to lose their lives for the cause of Christ. They're the Jews that have been saved, and they're trying to spread the gospel out, and they're trying to get others saved, and many of them are going to lose their life. The Apostle Paul lost his life because he spread the gospel. Many did. We can read the Book of Martyrs, there's many that gave their life. Even after the Book of Hebrews, chapter 11, there was more people that are still going to die for the cause of Christ. Matter of fact, I just got a letter this week from the Wyckoff Ministries, which prints Bibles in different languages, and they are right now printing in the Arabic for the different countries over the the Arab countries. I can't remember all of them, but in there, and they were given testimonies of people that when they heard the gospel in their own language, what a difference it made. People had heard it. Missionaries have gone, and different ones have gone, and they speak English, so they could speak English. But when they hear it in their own language, it makes a difference. But you know, there's martyrs even today. There are many in this letter. It was telling about a 55-year-old preacher that he got converted from Islam and began to go out and tell others about Christ. He began to start a church. He was kind of underground, but he got caught one day. They took him out and put a gun to the back of his head and shot him in front of the city. So everybody in the city could see what happens to Christians. And you know, so there's still martyrs today. But God can give us the strength that we need and give us guidance and direction. And he gave us a book that we can rely upon. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, again, we are thankful that we serve a great God that loves us and cares for us. Lord, you take care of for us more than, Lord, we even understand. Lord, we know you're a sovereign God that gives us direction. And Lord, you tell us what we need to do through your word. Father, I ask that you be with the services to come. Be with our pastor, hide him behind the cross, Lord, as he preaches, that, Lord, we would hear your words, that, Lord, our hearts might be touched. Lord, open our ears that we can hear, but, Lord, most of all, open our hearts that we can receive your word and change our lives. But Lord, we know that's what you want for us, to love you, to care for you, to care for others. Help us, Lord. Give it. We need your grace. We need your mercy. We need your help. Father, I pray that you be with the services to come now. We ask in thy son's name, in the precious and holy name of Jesus. Amen. You're dismissed.
your calls, I'll be ready to go.
Because I've been baptized in the crimson flow.
The crimson
my sins are spotless and I'm
free and whole. And I'm so happy, for I know I'm under His control. I want to go up yonder where I'll never more roam. Come and get me, Lord, and carry me home.
Come and get me, Lord, and take me,
come and carry me home. I never want to ramble,
never want to roam.
I want to go up yonder to that happy home in the sky, where my soul shall live forevermore and nevermore die. Preparations have been made and I am ready to fly. Come and take me in the by and by.
Swing low,
swing low,
swing low.
Swing low,
sweet chariot,
swing low, I want to go up yonder where I'll never more roam. Come and get me, Lord, and carry me home. I can hardly wait for the trumpet to sound.
Lord, I can hardly
wait
for my robe and crown.
My robe and crown. Shout the news, I'll never worry, never sigh, I'll never have the blues. I want to go up yonder where I'll never more roam. Come and get me, Lord, and carry me home.
Come and get me, Lord, and take me,
come and carry me home. I never want to ramble,
never want to roam.
I want to go up yonder to that happy home in the sky, where my soul shall live forevermore and nevermore die. Preparations have been made and I am ready to fly. Come and take me in the by and by.
Swing low,
swing low,
swing low,
swing low,
sweet
chariot. Swing low, I want to go up yonder where I'll never more roam. Come and get me, Lord, and carry me home. Come and get me, Lord, and carry me home.
I could never describe His goodness to me. You ask how I make it day after day. There's only one thing I can say. It's been a long journey, but I have been blessed. Walking with Jesus, I have no regrets. He is so good to me, I must confess. The way has been long, but I'm blessed. All that I need, I find at His feet. When I'm hungry, He feeds me with manna so sweet. When my soul is weary, He gives peace and rest. All I can say is I'm blessed. Now I've had my share of sunshine and rain. Days filled with laughter, nights filled with pain. But with every mile as I travel this way, the journey